Now, if you're able to do it with one ear and listen with the other ear, we're going to think about some themes of light in the Bible. Now, who can tell me where's the very first mention of light in the Bible? Genesis chapter 1. The first thing that God does in the Bible is he says, let there be light. Light, the first thing. And there was light. So what do you think was making this light? What was the light? Yeah, it's an interesting question, because if you read Genesis, you'll see that God doesn't create the sun. Do you know what day he creates the sun on? Does anybody know when God makes the sun? The fourth day, very good. Great to have a Bible enthusiast here in the room, isn't it? God creates the sun on the fourth day, but on the first day he says, let there be light. So that's a bit of a mind-bending thought, isn't it? What was the light that he created at the beginning? Now, light is associated with God. You can tell me afterwards, Christian. It's a question, but it could be. That is a very good answer. Because science and God all in the end explain each other and come together. So in our language, we might say that the light was the Big Bang. And then that's when everything got started. But all through the Bible, at the beginning of the Bible, God is associated with light. We mentioned some of them here. Moses sees God in the light of the burning bush. And then when Moses, after that, is leading the people through the wilderness towards the promised land, the great life that he's promised to them, he has, as we said in there, the fiery pillar of fire to guide them in the night, cloud in the day, and a fiery pillar of light. Now, there was no cameras then, so you couldn't take a photograph, but this is something about what it would have looked like. With all the Israelites camped around it, the tabernacle in the middle, and that was the place where the presence of God dwelt. Inside that tabernacle was kind of like a recreation of the Garden of Eden, a recreation of creation, when the light of God was what lit the world. And so that light was just as we've been thinking about and Helen was talking about. It not only lit the place to show them the path, but as it moved through the wilderness, it guided them on the journey of their life. And eventually, it brought them into the promised land. Now, they lived in the promised land, and God, in his wisdom, had told them how to live a good life. He told them when they were in the desert, he prepared them by saying, this is the way you must live. You must worship only me. You must have no other gods. You mustn't create idols out of other things like wood and stone. You must love the people who live with you. You mustn't lie to each other. You mustn't murder each other. You mustn't, like, steal off each other. What was God telling them then? What do we call that list of things? Yeah. The Ten Commandments. He was giving us the Ten Commandments to show them how to live. And lots of other instructions and guidelines. He said, if you follow this, you will find life. You'll find life. So he took them into this land where they could live in the fullness of life. And to begin with, they did. But after a bit, things started to go wrong. They didn't follow all his ways. After many hundreds of years, although they still were God's people, they had started rebelling against him and not doing what he said. So God sent some prophets who were people who spoke God's word again. And we've been thinking about Isaiah, who was one of those prophets. Isaiah came and he said many things. He brought judgment. He said, you're not doing it right. But he didn't just leave it there. He always came with a message of hope. There's always hope that you can turn back and be the people that God meant you to be. Be a blessing for the whole world, which is what God had always promised to his people, that they would be a blessing. And he also, so he spoke that into the moment, but he also looked ahead into the future and said, one day someone will come who will show you how to do it, who will be a great king of your people, who will redeem you. All these different names that we're thinking about. And one of the names he gave of the person who would come was that they would be a light. Somehow or other, they said, a great light is going to come into the world. Now, the people didn't know what it was like. They didn't think, oh, that will be Jesus in 700 years' time. They just knew that sometime they would recognize something which was a great light, and was going to show them the way, and would be not only for them, but for the Gentiles, the whole world as well. So for years, the people were waiting for someone who somehow their nature would be light. We'd recognize him because of something to do with light. Now, 2,000 years ago, this man stood up and in front of all the Jewish rulers, he said, "I am the light of the world." Now, you can see the Jewish rulers behind there. That is actually quite a shocking thing. How could this person, just a person like us, be saying, "I am the light of the world"? Now, we've only just started to taste the idea of what it means with light in the Bible, but these Jewish leaders and the people listening, they would have heard so much in that message. They would have heard those words, "I am," which was God's holy name. This man is saying, "I am." He's saying, "I am." That person, God, and me are the same. I am. He's saying, "I am the light of the world." When the world was created and there was a light from who knows where, "I am the light. I'm the light." That's what he's saying. That is very offensive to those people. How could they say that? How could they say that? It challenged them really deep. And in a way, it can challenge us as well, can't it? How can someone who looks like us actually be God? Well, I think actually light can help us there, because anybody who's a bit of a physicist, has anybody here done O-level physics? GCSE physics? O-level. Yes, a few O-levels here, GCSE physics. Anybody else done A-level physics? Woo, quite a few going on. Well, if you know anything about physics or you've been to school and listened to your physics teacher, you will know that light is a very interesting thing because it behaves in two ways at the same time. Light can behave, does anybody know, like what? It behaves like a wave and a particle. So waves, like we were doing, they go like this, and particles are only in one place at a time. And light behaves in ways that it behaves like a wave and it behaves like a particle. And it's mind-bending, some of the experiments you can do to show. If you do an experiment which has had two tiny slits and you fire such a little bit of light at it that only one particle of light comes to the slit, it has to go through one slit and it lands in a particular place. So it's a particle. It's not a wave that sort of just goes half through both, like a wave on the sea might. And yet when you fire light at it more, it ends up looking like waves on the sea. It's like almost impossible to understand, and yet it happens. Light does behave in both ways. And I find that really helpful with thinking about how this person can be God at the same time as being an actual human being. It's mind-bendingly impossible, but we observe it and it happened. And these people, when they first met Jesus, they were trying to get their heads around it. They were trying to understand, how can this person be the person he says he is? To be the light of the world, to be God. And the people who followed him, they did begin to get their heads around it, because we have those famous words at the beginning of John when he talks about, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind, the light that shines in the darkness." John is picking up that thing about Jesus being the light. And then we also read in the writer of Hebrews, he says, or she says, who knows, "The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by his mighty power of his command." That Jesus is the expression of God, the revelation of his brilliance and the revelation of his glory. They were beginning to get this idea that Jesus is the light. Now, Isaiah, when he told us about it, he said, "This man Jesus will come, and he is the great light." But Isaiah had eyes that could see even further into the future. And he knows that one day, he writes this in his book, you can read it towards the end in chapter 60. One day, the light of the world, when everything is brought back to how it should be, the light in that place will again be Jesus. There won't be any need for the sun, because the light of Jesus will be the thing that shines and lights us, and everything will be revealed in the light. Nothing that's hidden or difficult or complicated or secret will remain, because the light of Jesus will show it all. And that is what we look forward to even now. In Revelation, it tells us about it. It says, and Jesus calls himself the morning star, because he's, I think I might even have a picture of the morning star. Here we are. Yes. Can you see it? Tiny. Because it's there. You can, who's seen the morning star? Does anybody know what the morning star actually is? Yes, it's the planet Venus. And just when the light is coming, just when the light is coming, it's the thing that you can see that tells you that the dawn is coming. So we've seen Jesus. He calls himself the morning star. Look at me. I am the sign that the whole light, the new dawn, is going to come upon us when we won't need the sun anymore, because the radiance of the Father will be what lights our place. So what does that mean for us today? It's a challenge to us, isn't it, to get our head around what it means for Jesus to be God. Jesus is saying, I am God, and I am the one who lights everything in the world. He also tells us that if we want to find light, we must follow what he says. All through the Bible, it says, if you follow me, you will find life. And all through the Bible, people think, ah, I know better, I'm going to look somewhere else. But the truth is, nowhere else is the path to life. Only Jesus is the path to life. And so when we follow Jesus, we reflect his life as well. And he says that we too will be people who bring light into different places. And that's something that we can do in our lives. And we're going to think a little bit more about that later on in this service. How do we be lights ourselves in this world where we live? So as we come to the end, has anybody made a little stained glass window? Do you want to hold them up? Hey, great. Yeah, I thought they turned out better than I thought when you've just teared the paper. It looks really good. Really nice. Well done. Well, anybody who hasn't finished yet, do feel free to carry on. And when you look at them, think about how Jesus shines through. The light shines through. And in this light, who knows? Light's such an amazing thing. Perhaps the Spirit of Jesus is shining on us in that light. And we're going to remind ourselves, before we go on, of our memory verse. So we'll have it up. I think the next one might be a memory verse. Is it on the next slide? No, but it's that one. There we are. It's just easier to read like that. So we'll say it together one time, and then we're going to blank it straight away. So commit it to memory quickly, okay? Okay. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. John chapter 8, verse 12. Okay. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. John chapter 8, verse 12. Should we have it on again? Well done. Let's give ourselves a clap. That was very good. And what I've just said is summarized in those verses. Maybe you can see that now, that he cast out the darkness, and he is the light that leads to life for everyone in the Bible and now.
Cool. So we're just going to pray now, just for a few different things, Lord, that we're going to pray for people and places that need God's light to show the way, to guide the path and cast out darkness. So, Father God, first of all, we pray for people who need your light, Lord, where there is any darkness, Lord, where there's the shadows that come from shame or heartbreak, Lord, from anxiety or depression, from disappointment or loss, Lord, from illness, from sickness, from just overwhelm and it all being too much, Lord. We just pray that you would cast your light on those people that need it so much more at the moment, Lord. We just pray that you would Bless them with your light and your encouragement and your hope for the future. Amen.
Amen. Father God, we pray for people, the places that we'll be this week. Now, everybody here, think where you will be tomorrow. Where will you be tomorrow? Will you be at school, work, home, out for a walk, at a club? Where you will be tomorrow? Father, I pray that as we go to those places tomorrow, that we will carry something of your light into those places. Because you say in Matthew's Gospel that we are also the light of the world, and that we should let our light shine so that people can see our good deeds and praise God. So where we are tomorrow, we pray that your light will shine there and something in us will be visible to people, and it will attract them to think, where am I going? Let's follow this light that I see. Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's just pray as well for ourselves. Now, how do you indicate yourself? Just think of your thoughts inside yourself. Father God, you see everything in us. For some people, that might be a frightening thought. For other people, it's a comfort. But Lord, you look at us with love. You look at us with hope. You look at us with encouragement to draw out from us all that you had in mind for us to be when you created us. And Lord, we invite you now to test us and know us. Show us where we are anxious and we can hand our worries over to you. And help us to know that one day everything in our lives will be made right because of your light and your revelation. Amen.
And for our last prayer, we're going to do a bit of a physical prayer. We're just thinking about praying for our world. I've got a big map of the world and a small map of Long Ashton, and wondered if you might be able to come up and take one of the candlelights and put it on somewhere in the world that is like particularly on your heart that you've been praying for, or that somewhere that needs God, or somewhere in Long Ashton that you just know needs God's light and his help. So yeah, feel free to come up and grab one of the candles and put it on somewhere that needs Jesus' light. So we'll